Joining us now is Theodore Gray, and in his day job, he's one of the founders of Wolfram Research, a company that produces scientific software. But he also has an interesting hobby. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. I understand that you collect elements. Is this true?
Sort of accidentally, but we have 57 different elements so far, over 100 samples of various sorts.
Where do you get them?
The two major sources of elements, if you're somebody like me, are Walmart and eBay. you can buy them, of course, from a chemical supply company and just, get any number of elements, but that's kind of, that's easy. I've tried to look for sort of interesting industrial applications and everyday products that use pure elements as some sort of part of their function.
Well, could you give an example or two?
Well, I have a list, 27 elements that you can buy at Walmart, and that's counting only pure elements, not compounds or alloys. Copper, obviously, for wires, and aluminum is used all over the place. But, for example, magnesium. You might not think you can buy a lump of magnesium, but you can. They're sold as fire starters for campfires. Krypton you can get in flashlight bulbs. Niobium you can find in... Actually, solid niobium jewelry.
Mm.
Mercury in thermostat switches. Tin for fishing weights. Lead. Actually, one of the amusing ones is americium, which you just had the earlier guest talking about discovering americium. Well, you can go to Walmart and buy americium in smoke detectors.
Yeah, that's a mildly radioactive element.
Yeah, and it's used in the ionization detector and smoke detectors. I mean, there's a vanishingly small amount of it, but nevertheless, it's a man-made transuranic element that you can buy at Walmart.
Huh. How did you get into collecting elements?
It started when we needed a table for our... we were sort of reorganizing our office space at my company, and we needed a conference table, I was at the same time reading Uncle Tungsten, a wonderful book by Oliver Sacks, and he has a chapter where he starts out talking about a periodic table in a science museum that he liked to visit when he was growing up. And I've actually heard from several people who had the same confusion I did, that they thought he was talking about a table, an actual horizontal table.
Coffee table or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, well, it was a display, with samples of all the elements. Now, it turns out if you read another sentence farther, it's actually on the wall, and it's the more traditional sort of presentation of the periodic table hanging on the wall. But that kind of gave me the idea that, hey, you could actually make a table out of it, and it would be sort of an interesting visual pun as well as solving our problem. I happen to have a couple of appropriate tools, like an engraving machine for actually making the tiles. And that's actually, I didn't start collecting the elements until I realized that I would need to put something in, in the table once I had it.
I see. And you also have some, I hope you have them with you, some elements that make curious sounds.
I was thinking, what can you do on the radio with elements? And there's actually a few sort of well-known element sounds. The tin cry is, I think, a good one. And then in Uncle Tungsten, he mentions how his uncle, the one who made tungsten in his factory, was fond of the sound and feel of lumps of tungsten. So we have quite a variety of different shapes and sizes of tungsten lumps. And I think you have a sound of one ringing.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
Right. So that was the sound of sintered tungsten. So if anybody who's read Uncle Tungsten will have heard that phrase. There's nothing like the sound of sintered tungsten.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually a larger lump here. Let me try this by the phone.
No, I'm afraid the phone kind of loses the... I could do the same thing with a book here, and no one would be the wiser.
We have an 11-pound cylinder. We were thinking of giving you the sound of that dropping on somebody's toe, but reconsidered. The tin cry is an interesting one. This is something that I'm sure a number of people have read about, but it's the sound that's made by a bar of tin being bent. And I'd always imagined it as being sort of a screeching, a crying sound, but it turns out it's really more of a crackling sound. And
okay, let's hear the tin. Sounds like static. In fact, I need to take a break and say I'm Richard Harris, and this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And the third one you mentioned was Indium Cry. Do we have that also?
Indium. Oh. We don't have the Indium Cry.
Oh.
We do have possibly Ringing Titanium. Let me try that one.
Hey, that works pretty well.
Okay, that's about a foot-long bone pin that's implanted. I guess you have a badly broken bone. They actually drill this thing down the middle of your core of your bone until the bone is healed. It's a really alarming-looking piece of metal, if you imagine it being put in. But it's beautiful, pure, solid titanium and makes a wonderful sound.
It does, indeed. So, wow. So you should maybe you could make it an elemental trio at some point with you, with your collection. That's great. Well, thank you for sharing those sounds with us.
So, you're welcome.
Yeah, I might mention, is it a complete coincidence that Wolfram, the company you work for, also puts in an appearance on the periodic table?
Well, it's of course named after Stephen Wolfram, our founder. But it certainly has encouraged. There's now, I don't know, 3 or 4 employees of the company who've followed my source and bought themselves lumps of tungsten just because it's of course Wolfram, and I guess that's the old German name of it.
Uh-huh. And on the periodic table, the initial for tungsten is W.
W. Right?
So
right.
I see. So.
Yep.
So, okay. So. So that circulates around the office too as a
right. Yeah, we have over 20 pounds of it at this point.
Is that right?
I have this 11-pound cylinder, which is just an amazing object. I think it's certainly my favorite lump of material. It's very small and very heavy.
How many elements do you have to go?
Well, it kind of depends on how desperate you get or how far you're willing to go into the radioactives. But we have 57 now, and that's sort of, I would say, pretty much all the easy ones. Most of the easy ones. 92, I think, would be a good number, to call it a pretty complete collection.
Oh, well, good luck to you. I guess
a good lump of uranium would be nice.
Well, if there are any callers out there with a lump of uranium, perhaps they could send it to you. I should thank you for being on the show. Theodore Gray, in his day job, is one of the founders of Wolfram Research and is the creator of his own very own periodic coffee table or periodic table.
Which we should mention you can see in all its detail at theodoregray.com.
Okay. Thank you very much. And if you want more information or want to contribute some samples to his project, you can go to our website and